I do. I mean, I remember, it's hard to grow up in Montana and not remember seeing it on the newspaper every single, you know, every time there's any sort of wolf news, it's usually a front page story on the Missoulian or the Bozeman Chronicle or you name it. And yeah, I mean, I remember it being a very controversial thing. I remember my parents talking about it to some extent. And yeah, just kind of a fascinating thing as a kid to sort of observe.
And when did you personally first view a wolf? Was it before you did this story?
Actually, yeah, I worked as a wildland firefighter for a number of years up in Marion, Montana, outside of Kalispell, and it's actually one of the it's a really cool experience. I was driving in the fire engine with one of my coworkers, and we stumbled upon a pack of actually really young wolves. I don't know if you'd call them pups, but they definitely weren't coyotes, and it was incredible. It was really neat to see them.
And then the next time you saw them was, I assume, when you came back to do this story about the wolves in Montana and in Yellowstone.
You know, I spent a lot of time in the outdoors in Montana, and I've heard wolves howl, but I've never, other than that one time with the fire crew, I'd never seen one in the wild until going up there and doing this story and going into Yellowstone with people that are professionals. I mean, this is what they do, is track wolves and see where they go and bring people to them. And we were pretty fortunate in that we had a what they said was a very good wolf viewing experience. I know our photographer, David Gilkey, he was a little blue in the face when he realized that 2 miles out was a good viewing, because it's pretty hard to get a picture of a wolf from 2 miles out.
But he did get some fantastic photos. I'm glad you brought up the photographer, David Gilkey, because the program you've done for NPR has just a fantastic slideshow, and he got some great photos, one especially of a couple of wolves that looks like they're playing with each other.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time tromping around in Yellowstone looking for wolves. We actually saw one cross a road in front of us, and I mean, anybody that's been to Yellowstone kind of knows that when a wolf is spotted, it quickly becomes almost a circus on the road of everybody stopping and pulling over and doing all that, and spooked the wolf off pretty fast. He's from Oregon, and so he kind of knows the type of people that live in kind of rural areas and everything, which is great because, I don't know, there's sometimes a disconnect between people when they come out to places like Montana and have to sleep in a hunting camp for a night or something like that. And yeah, he's one of our war photographers, so he's well-versed in the ways of roughing it.
There's a point in the program where you quote Ed Banks, who's the former federal wolf recovery coordinator, and he says, quote, "The debate about wolves is not really about wolves at all."
And it was really refreshing to hear somebody say it. A lot of people kind of hint about it, and I think everybody kind of knows it, but very few people are willing to just say it, especially when you're talking to people that are actively involved in it, because it doesn't do their argument any justice when you kind of put it in that way. But when you boil it down, there's, you know, it's urban versus rural, it's federal government versus state rights, it's agriculture versus tourism. So it's kind of a changing economy in Montana that gets fought out on the back of a wolf. I mean, it's pretty interesting. And there's some people I talked to that even said, to a certain extent, it's even red blue.
The culture war, you say in the program, that it's really part of the culture war.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's people's values. Ed, this cut of tape didn't make the actual story or Ed's quote. But he said, you know, if you were to walk into a bar in Montana and say, "I blank wolves, love, hate, whatever," you're A, going to get a pretty big reaction probably from people, and B, whoever, you can probably make assumptions about the person based on what they said. So if you say, "I love wolves," then he said, it's kind of sad, but it's true that you can make assumptions about the person and the way they view the world that would probably hold up. And the same is true of the other side, you know, the kind of values that the person has in all aspects of their life.
And the passion on both sides is so deep, which your story really shows. And one example of many that you could use, but one is of a rancher who shot a wolf that had killed some of his livestock, and it was a legal kill for him to do this. But the wolf turned out to be one of Yellowstone's most famous wolves, the wolf called Daddy's Girl. And then it was posted on Facebook, and he got death threats. He and his wife got death threats.
Bill Hoppe, the fellow you're mentioning, is an interesting character. He does not like wolves. I mean, one of the first times I met with him, he was wearing a hat with a wolf in the crosshairs on it.
I've seen many of those hats around Montana.
Yeah. Yeah. Bill Hoppe's kind of in the middle of this in a lot of ways because he is outspoken in his dislike about wolves. And then he had some livestock killed by wolves. There are people that like wolves that claim that he, that allege, I should say, that he put those sheep there on purpose and did so that he could bait a wolf in to kill. I talked to all of the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, the Wildlife Services people that investigated the actual incident, and they all said that, you know, he did nothing that was illegal. He did everything by the books. Whether or not you want to disagree with him putting his sheep there is that's a matter of opinion, I guess.
Given this kind of passion on both sides and the fact that it really is part of the culture war, Nate, did you come away after doing the story of thinking there's any common ground to be reached? Of course, your story does point out there are some ranchers who are trying to protect their livestock without killing wolves, coming up with new techniques, doing flagging along their fence line and so on. But did you come away thinking that there's a middle ground possible anywhere?
I did, entirely. I mean, so I guess the first way to answer that is I think the issue of wolves is always going to be a big, passionate, value-laden issue just because it is that. It's values and those, you know, not everybody is ever going to see eye to eye on everything. That's just human beings. But there's another story actually that's going to air this weekend that is about people that are completely in the middle, people that are trying to compromise. You've got a lot of really neat efforts that are going on in Montana and in the Northern Rockies about people that are kind of trying to find a way to bridge that gap that we're talking about. The Blackfoot Challenge, for example, up in Ovando, they're doing all sorts of really interesting things with, they have a range rider program where it's almost like a modern day shepherd, somebody that goes out with cattle and kind of tracks and monitors where wolves are going and lets ranchers know about that so that they can kind of try to mitigate any sort of encounters and or depredations. And that's just one of a lot of things they got going there. And you have people in the Tom Miner Basin and north of Yellowstone National Park that are doing the same. And you've got people that were really outspoken at one point on one side of the issue or the other. Bruce Malcolm was a former state legislator, and he lives in the Paradise Valley. Not a big fan of wolves, but when I talked to him, he kind of said, you know, at some point, he accepts that wolves are here. They're never going to get rid of them. And so he says, at some point, you don't want to die angry. So it doesn't do you any good to have your blood pressure all the way up and screaming and bellowing all the way to the end when there's really nothing you can do about it. So just try to find a way to coexist.
And over time, that probably will be worked out is the upshot of all that. And Ed Bangs, again, the former federal wolf recovery coordinator, did point out in your story that the wolves are here to stay, that no matter what Montana policymakers do, what ranchers or wolf lovers do, the wolf is a very persistent animal and knows how to survive.
Yeah, there's a reason we feel so strongly about them, and it's because they are. I mean, if you want to talk apex predators, there's very few creatures that are as cunning and as smart and as adaptable as a wolf. And Ed Bangs, Doug Smith, you know, almost everybody, Bob Ream, who used to be with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, almost everybody I talked to said that wolves are never going to get wiped off the landscape again. And I know that that's something that people bring up a lot, saying, you know, that Montana's wolf hunt is too aggressive or that the Montana state legislature wants to get rid of wolves. And there's, when you look at Yellowstone National Park, when you look at the Bob Marshall Wilderness, a lot of these big federal wilderness lands that wolves live in. Even if the Montana state legislature went off the deep end at one point and said, we're going to poison wolves, we're going to do whatever we can to get rid of them, there's still those federal lands where that's not going to fly. Like I said, wolves they're just adaptable and prolific. They reproduce quite a bit. So very recently, I think it was in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, they had they had a wolf derby where they offered people to come in and try to kill as many wolves as you can. And there was a lot of news reports about that. There was national news reports about that.
They didn't get any, correct?
No, they didn't kill any. And that's the thing that you don't hear on the other side. And so I think it is really important that people understand that yes, Montana sold, you know, 16,000 wolf tags or whatever it was, but the number of wolves that were actually killed, and this was, I believe, 2012, was like 225. So the success rate is so small just because these animals are really, really, really smart. You know, maybe, is it maybe too aggressive? Well, that's for some people to debate, but I think that it's important to kind of keep those things in mind as people kind of form their opinions on it.
Well, it's a fascinating story that you've done, Nate, because it does touch all the bases, I think, of the Wolf debate, which is a complex debate, as many of these high-profile debates are. And I have been speaking with Nate Rott, who is a reporter for National Public Radio. And he, along with photographer David Gilkey, have a story that they've done recently and a wonderful slideshow to go with the story about the Wolf debate in Montana. Nate, thank you so much for taking us behind the scenes of your story.
Thank you so much, Sally, and thank you for the kind words. It means a lot coming from you because you've been covering this for a lot longer than I have.
We won't go into how much longer. Thanks, Nate.
Thank you, Sally.